البيان راديو بريزنتس ذا فارماسي اور وفي سعيد كداري from your discount chemist. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters and welcome to the Pharmacy Hour. We are live from Albayan Radio. I'm your host Abu Abdul Rahman and I'm pleased to be joined by my dear brother Saeed Kadari from your discount chemist in Greenacre. السلام عليكم سعيد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
How's your break been? We haven't seen you for a few months.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, it was really good. I got to go away for a little bit.
Alhamdulillah, you're back.
I'm back. One piece.
Alhamdulillah.
With Africa.
Africa.
On a safari. Alhamdulillah, it was fantastic. SubhanAllah, the animals.
What did you see?
Saw everything.
Lions?
Lions, cheetahs, leopards, elephants, giraffes,
any close,
hyenas.
Any close calls?
Ooh, there was one close. It was one close encounter where we almost saw a lion take out a zebra, but changed its mind at the last minute.
Alhamdulillah. The zebras, alhamdulillah, if it takes out a zebra, it's all right, as long as it takes out...
No, they're used to seeing the humans, so it's all right. And plus, we're in cars, so...
Alhamdulillah. We have a action-packed episode, as always. We're going to speak about allergies, and you can join in by calling us on 9740-6160. If you're out of Sydney, add the area code 02-9740-6160. Or you can leave your comments, feedback, questions for Brother Saeed on our social media accounts, Albayan Radio, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Albayan Radio.
I noticed that there's a Telegram channel now.
That's right.
Yeah, I got a message the other day.
That's right. You can join the Albayan Radio group on Telegram for those brothers and sisters who have Telegram. Just search Albayan Radio and add yourself to the group for the latest lessons, updates, videos, podcasts, you name it, it's there. Barakallahu fik for reminding me. Totally slipped my mind.
That's all right. I just noticed that, you know, SubhanAllah, there's so many ways to connect now.
That's it. We have no excuse.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Before we start speaking about allergies, I have a question for you. I know there's some new rules regarding medicine with codeine. Is that right?
Yes. 1st of February, some major changes.
A few days ago.
Yeah. Major changes for us in the pharmacy and for you guys out there. Basically, anything with codeine now is now prescription only. So it's affected a lot of products.
Like
some very popular products.
What does it affect?
Things like Nurofen Plus.
No way, Nurofen Plus now. So you have a prescription.
You have to need a prescription for Nurofen Plus. Panadine.
Ford as well?
Panadine Ford's always been on prescription.
Yes, it is, that's right.
But normal Panadine, which the company has now just stopped making it. They're not even going to bother. So Panadine's finished. There's Mesindol. It's also a very, very popular product that's also been put on prescription only. So some major changes.
Now, the million-dollar question,
yes,
is why?
Well, where do you start?
Is it because that people are using this in the non-proper way, we can say?
Look, definitely. But, you know, it's only a small percentage of people. But like anything, the government's been a bit worried about it for a few years now. You know, there's been a few overdoses. They're saying it's about 100 a year. But that's not entirely correct in that it's not always just from the ones from over the counter. It's some codeine that you can get on prescription, like Panadine Fort as well.
No.
Look, codeine is an addictive product, addictive drug. It gets... Not many people know, but codeine gets transformed into morphine in the body.
Yeah, ilaha illallah.
So in the body gets turned into morphine, and then that's how it works on the helping the pain. So it can be addictive. And one of the major things with codeine is, you know, when you start with these, what they call the low-dose codeines over the counter, you for pain, after a while, months and sometimes years, people of using them, you need, you know, where two tablets would get you relief, all of a sudden you need three tablets. And then where three tablets gets you relief, all of a sudden you need four tablets. So you tend to always need more and more as you go on.
So there has been documented overdoses from this.
Yes, but look, you know, it's rare. You know, there's way more people dying of other things. Yes. Other than, you know, 100 a year, really. I mean, any loss is bad. Mm. But 100 a year is not that bad. Yeah, there's more people drown a year, more than 100 people drowning a year than, you know, people dying. We kind of say, you know, do we go around and closing all the beaches and pools? No, of course not. So, look, me personally, from a personal point of view, I think it's an overreaction. I think, and most pharmacists would say that. You know, but look, the rules are the rules. That's how it is, and people just need to know that. You know, this is a big. If you're a user of those products, you've really got to see the pharmacy or see the doctor.
That's my next question. If someone is suffering, for example, from short-term pain, mm-hmm. what should they do?
Look, there's other things you can use,
and they can't be bothered going to the doctor to get a prescription.
Yeah. There's other things you can use. Paracetamol. I'll use brands because people will recognize them. You can use Panadol. You can use Nurofen. Now, the codeine-based products are stronger than those, but there is some new formulation products now where they combine Panadol and Nurofen, or paracetamol and ibuprofen, and things like Maxigesic. That's quite a good combination drug of those two. And look, you know, that particular drug, that particular tablet, that's been found to be just as good as, better than paracetamol or better than Panadol and Nurofen alone, and quite comparable to some of the low-dose codeine. So there is help. There is other products that are non-addictive and quite effective. And look, if it's the pain's really, really that bad, you got to go to the doctor anyway.
So what about, is that the same for long-term pain?
Look, long-term pain, depending on what it is, you know, it can be very hard to treat using just drugs by itself. So you've got to combine it with other things like, you know, whether it's a hot pack or, you know, if you're a long-term sufferer of back pain, for instance, where a lot of people are, you know, try to use other methods like heat packs and, you know, some physiotherapy or exercises and things like that. I mean, taking the tablet is the easy way. But sometimes to get yourself better, you need to use more than just tablets. And for the long-term sufferers of pain, that's what they should be doing anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't want to rely on tablets, even though they give you the relief and it's very easy. You know, I've been in the position myself sometimes, you know, after, mind you, it's not long-term pain, but, you know, after a surgery, it's so much easier. You know, I've had knee surgery once and, you know, it's just easy to take the painkillers because it just helps. But, you know, if you combine with other things like, you know, exercises or physio plus, you know, some heat packs or cold packs, depending on what your issue is, you should, that will help you get some longer-term relief as well.
Inshallah ta'ala. Now, moving on to allergies. Allergies is something which is, you know, everyone may suffer or thinks they suffer from, or some people have a long-term allergy. Where do we start?
Well, allergies. Allergies occur when our body overreacts to a trigger or an allergen, what we call an allergen. Mm. And a common reaction includes would include itchiness, sneezing, and difficulty breathing. You know, the most severe reaction is called anaphylaxis, and that is a really severe and requires like medical treatment most of the time, urgently. Other common allergies include hay fever, hives, and some food allergies as well. Now, allergies. What happens with an allergy? To give you a quick summary of what happens in an allergy, something, you know, comes into the body that the body for some reason doesn't like. It's an allergy or an allergen. Your body starts to fight it, and as part of the response releases something called histamine, and that's what causes the, you know, the itchiness and the swelling and those kind of things that happens. So it's your, kind of like your own body just sort of trying to fight it off, and causes this effect. So there's some types of allergies. We'll go through a few of the more common ones. Anaphylaxis, okay, or maybe you've heard it as anaphylactic shock. This is the most serious of the allergic reactions and can cause death if you don't get fast medical attention. Within minutes of getting the allergen, the person can have life-threatening symptoms like difficulty breathing, and that's primarily how people who get this, if they die, it's from difficulty breathing because their throat swells up or their tongue swells up so much that it blocks the airways. The treatment for this includes first aid and an injection of adrenaline, which you may have heard, EpiPen. Some people have been exposed to that. The best way to avoid it is to have an anaphylaxis plan. So you work that out with your doctor. This is for real serious allergies. We're talking like, I'm not sure if you've ever been exposed to it, but some people are really allergic to nuts. They have one nut and all of a sudden their face swells up, their tongue swells up, and it's a really, really a serious thing. And some people die. I've heard of many stories where people in restaurants they've died because, you know, there's something in the food that's triggered them. So the doctor will, in this case, if you suffer of this, will generally refer you to a specialist, and who will draw up a management plan. As I was saying, the anaphylaxis can occur in minutes, and that normally happens. The average is about 20 minutes after being exposed to the trigger. And sometimes, you know, symptoms might be a little mild at the first, but then they get worse really quick.
What are the symptoms for this?
The symptoms will include like face swelling, including swelling of the lips and the eyelids, a swollen tongue, swollen throat, reddening of the skin across the body, hives, which are like red welts on the skin, which we'll talk about later, abdominal discomfort or pain, vomiting, strained or noisy breathing, wheezing or coughing, and inability to talk or a very hoarse voice. And then unconsciousness is also possible. And young children will get floppy and pale, so they'll just, you know, be almost lifeless.
Now, important question is, what triggers this kind of allergy?
Well, some of the more common triggers that can lead to anaphylaxis is food. Food, and about 90% of the food allergic reactions come from reactions to lobster, prawn, crab, eggs, fish, milk, peanuts, and tree nuts like almonds, cashews, walnuts, sesame, or soy products. So that's generally what triggers 90% of the food allergies are from that group of products. So, you know, look, you know, you've seen now in schools, they, you're not allowed to bring nuts to school.
Which people are just worried about Nutella, but anyway.
Yeah. That's right. You're not allowed to bring Nutella sandwiches anymore.
It's not nuts, Nutella.
Yeah. which has nuts in
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
Hazelnuts. The other common triggers include insect venom. So bees, ants, ticks, and wasps. And medicines. The two probably the most common drug to give a big allergic reaction is penicillin. So we're always on the lookout for people who have been allergic to penicillin, making sure that they're not being exposed to penicillin by anyone who, you know, in case they go to another doctor and those kind of things. So we put that into their file, so we know when we're dispensing something for them, and most pharmacies do that. And over the counter medicines like aspirin as well has a high rate of anaphylaxis for people. Look, and also despite all the testing, sometimes someone's allergies, we may not even find them. People just can't find them. We just don't know. SubhanAllah. Mm. You know, or they'll do all the tests to find out what they're allergic to. No one knows.
Now, how many people suffer from this?
It's they think that it's about 1 in 200 people suffer from the severe form of anaphylaxis.
And for parents out there, if a child, you know, suffers from this or comes across this, what should they do?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. You know, you always have to be on the lookout. SubhanAllah, you're always scared about, you know, what's going to happen, and you worry about them. The suggestion for parents would be to educate your child to the best of your ability. You know, when they're young, it's difficult, but as they get older, educate them about their condition. You know, if your child has food triggers, stress the importance of never sharing their food with their friends. Advise childcare or kindergarten or schools or other carers of your child's condition. And give those people or organizations a current copy of the child's anaphylaxis management plan, if you've got one, and you should. And a recent photo of the child as well, of your child, so they know who they're dealing with. Make sure you provide each place or organization with an in-date adrenaline injection. There's special prescriptions that can be written by the doctor to get multiple injections for the same price. So, you know, you can have one at school and one at home, or one at your parents' house and one, you know, at your house, whatever the situation that suits you. And it's also a good idea to take a first aid course that deals with anaphylaxis. These can be done at, you know, the St. John's Ambulance or other various places.
That's my God, it's more serious than I actually thought.
Yeah, it's like I said, there's I don't have the stats on the deaths, but maybe I might find that out for us after the next break.
Inshallah. Now let's move on to hay fever. Now, when is hay fever season?
Hay fever season.
May or June, is it?
No, it's actually hay fever is a spring phenomenon.
Spring, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, spring. But being in Australia, we tend to have a lot of hay fever, and this season extends into summer a lot of the time. So, so it's. Tell me, do you know what hay fever is?
I remember you told me last time. If you ask me now, off the top of my head, I'll come up with something. Inshallah, alam, what it is. Proper definition? No.
Yeah, a lot of people they think it's a weird name for what it actually is, and it sort of is, really, because you don't normally get a fever.
Now, recently with hay fever. Yeah, recently in Melbourne there was that. I think someone died, or a few people died from the pollen, wasn't it? Isn't that linked to hay fever?
Yes. The pollen. That I think they not exactly sure of what happened there, but there's a phenomenon, and it's happened in Melbourne a few times, where the pollen, which is a trigger to hay fever, but it also can set off asthma
and
breathing problems.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a phenomenon called thunderstorm asthma, where before a storm comes, the wind picks up and blows all the pollen, and some really sensitive people get this asthma and get difficulty breathing. And if they're not prepared, they it can cause death.
So what is hay fever? Technically, what is it?
So hay fever is the common name for a condition called allergic rhinitis. Of course, you knew that, but which means an allergy that affects the nose.
Just trying to stay humble.
Yeah. An allergy that affects the nose, which is actually quite funny because it can also affect the eyes as well. So, but most people associate hay fever with spring, where the airborne pollens from grasses are at their peak. But as we were saying, hay fever can occur at any time. You know, this is known as perennial allergic rhinitis. It's big words here tonight.
Yes, there is.
Which is usually caused by a reaction to allergens around the home, like dust mites, mold, animal hair or fur, or other allergens in the air. So, you know, it's not just pollen, so it's dust as well that people can...
Is sneezing a symptom of hay fever?
Sneezing, definitely. One of the most common. And you would say that if you didn't have sneezing, then you'd it's... In most cases, you get sneezing, yes.
Runny nose,
correct, yes.
Stuffy nose.
Stuffy as well, yeah. Runny or stuffy.
Itchy nose.
Sometimes together. Itchy nose.
Or ears.
Yeah, wow. You, anything else? You might.
Throats as well.
Yes, the ear, nose and throat connected.
I've been around some people who have had it and I picked up from them.
Yeah. It can be quite debilitating, if you're a big sufferer.
One thing I'm not too sure about, headaches. Is that linked to it?
Sometimes, yeah. And from the stuffiness in the nose, that would be linked to the headache. Also affects the eyes. So red, itchy and watery eyes is a possibility. And in some cases, the symptoms can be so severe that a person can't sleep or concentrate or may feel tired or unwell. And, quite often we'll find that customers coming to the pharmacy thinking they've got a cold. They're watery eyes, itchy nose, the nose is running or blocked. But in actual fact, it's not a cold. It's hay fever. It's hay fever. So
now, how can it be treated?
Well, treatment for hay fever, we have a lot of treatments in the pharmacy for that. It's most treatments are without prescription. So
it doesn't require codeine.
Doesn't require codeine.
I'm doing that.
Although there have been some hay fever treatments which have had to take the codeine out because they did have some codeine for the headache part of the issue. But, it's been reformulated, so it's all
good. I don't want to sidetrack. I'd love to do a show about the pharmaceutical companies. I know that.
Where do we start?
With other than you. So
yeah.
So you don't get boycotted after we do the program.
Yeah, look, it's a gray area.
It's a big market, isn't it?
It's a huge market. Pharmaceuticals is big. We know that it's an industry worldwide that, some of the biggest companies in the world are pharmaceutical companies. That's no secret.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there as well.
There is a lot of conspiracy theories.
Not going to mention anything on air.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a lot, and a lot of them, if they're true, yeah, or 100%. Not, or just pie in the sky, we don't know, so we shouldn't comment. But
of course, yeah.
We're talking some big companies, and we're talking some companies that have a lot of pull in governments around the world and control a lot of people's lives.
And a lot of them.
Some of these drugs that they save lives, and sometimes they take lives.
Bit in there.
Exactly.
Now, that's another topic for another day, inshallah. Now, back to hay fever. Are nasal sprays ways of treating hay fever?
Definitely, yes. One of the most effective ways to treat hay fever is what we call intranasal corticosteroid sprays. Sounds big.
So if I go to the pharmacy, I have to ask for that? Or?
No. I'll make it a little bit easier. These sprays, they contain very low-dose steroids. And we're not talking about the bodybuilding steroids, so calm down, everyone. They are the ones that have, they're a different type of steroid. And they're one of the most effective treatments, as I said. And they need to be used regularly, and as directed, to be effective. And some of these nasal sprays can also be used to prevent hay fever. So when you know that spring's coming, you can use these sprays, a couple of weeks before. And inshallah, it should prevent your hay fever from even coming on.
What are some of these brand names?
So the most popular and the best ones, Rhinocort, Nasonex.
That's right.
Becanase, Flixonase. They're the most common ones. Nasonex being probably the strongest out of all of those. Used to be on prescription, it's come off now. And you're finding that they sometimes take a couple of days to work, but once they start working, they work really well. They work really well.
What other things can people who suffer from hay fever use?
So the most commonly used products are the tablets, which are what we call the non-sedating antihistamines.
Or Claritine,
yes. Claritine, Telfast, Zyrtec, the most common ones, well-known ones. These are very useful in controlling sneezing and itching, but they're not as effective as the sprays like the Rhinocort and the Nasonex at controlling the blocked or runny nose. And for the when you're extremely bad, you can use the both of them together. So a tablet and the nasal spray, and that'll give you the absolute best coverage.
What about eye drops?
Eye drops can be used, especially when, you know, hay fever is funny. Some people will be more blocked, or they'll be sneezing more, and some people just their eyes will be really bad. So it's, you know, subhanAllah, I don't know how it works. It just, everyone's a bit different in how severe their symptoms become. But for the eye drops, you know, they help relieve the redness, the itchiness, and the swelling, and the watery eyes. Zetidine being the best one out of them. There's Izep, Livistin, and Nafcon A as well. We can also use, there's another thing we use. They're the decongestant nasal sprays. I don't recommend these a lot. They're there, they serve a purpose. They're useful for very quick relief, so they'll work within minutes. But for any blocked or runny noses, but they shouldn't be used for more than 5 days as long-term use, because they can damage the lining of the nose. And really, after that time as well, you start to get rebound congestion, which basically, to put it simply, your nose gets addicted to them. So if you use them constantly for more than 5 days, then what happens is you start to rely on them to breathe properly. And that's not something we want to do. It's like a codeine issue. I don't use them often for that purpose, but they're really good when they do work. But, you know, only for 1 or 2 days maximum.
JazakAllah khair, brother Saeed. We're going to go to our first break for tonight and then come back for more of the Pharmacy Hour live from Abiyan Radio Studios. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الآن واسمه هو الرزاق. الرزاق يرزق الإنسان بالتوكل والإيمان.
فلن أخاف بعد الآه واسمه هو الرزاق. بحال المسلمين قد طال ظلم المعتدين. محزونين ومبتلين عجل لنا النصر المبين.
الطف بحال المسلمين قد طال ظلم المعتدين.
محزونين ومبتلين عجل لنا النصر المبين.
يا رحمن يا رحيم يا منان يا حليم.
السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, welcome back to the Pharmacy Hour. We are live from Bayan Radio. I'm pleased to be joined by my dear brother, Saeed Kadari, pharmacist from Your Discount Chemist. I am Abu Abdurrahman. Now, before we continue discussing allergies, we had a stat that we would like to mention. How many people die from severe allergy reactions? Or the proper term, sorry, I forgot what it is.
Anaphylaxis. So we've done the research. It's approximately 60 deaths a year.
60.
Given that they... That's a lot. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it's still a lot, given you know that codeine is causing 100 deaths a year, and the reaction that we've had to that. So it's a serious problem. It's a serious thing or issue that's happening. So you know, good management can definitely, and our management in the last few years, especially with the growth of the adrenaline injector. You know, it's prevented a lot of deaths, so alhamdulillah.
Now, we are discussing allergies. Before the break, we spoke about hay fever. And before that, we spoke about... What did we speak about?
Anaphylaxis.
we spoke about...
I'm going to get you to say that word before the night's out.
Anaphylaxis. Close enough.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, moving on, hives. Now, when I saw this, I'm not going to lie to you, I thought you were going to be talking about bees and honey. Hives, that's what came to my mind. What is hives?
Yum.
And is that the same pronunciation or different pronunciation?
No, right pronunciation. Hives is correct. The medical term is urticaria.
Alhamdulillah for hives. Urticaria.
Yes, and it's a common skin rash, you know, and it's characterized by one or many wells of reddened, raised, and itching skin. I don't know if you've ever... seen it, sort of similar to like a mosquito bite.
Yes.
The wells can vary in size, from relatively small or sometimes up to as large as a dinner plate.
Yeah, you know, so massive.
Massive, huge. Sometimes they're circular, sometimes they're oval shaped or annular, which means ring shaped. And they can affect any part of the body, but it's most common on the torso. So, on the torso, throat, arms, and legs. And they generally appear in clusters. So, you know, with one cluster getting worse before another cluster appears.
Now, how long will they last?
So, most of them will disappear without a trace within a few hours. But then what happens is it gets replaced by another one somewhere else on the skin. And the wells that persist exactly in the same spot for more than 24 hours, they could be something else. So they go and they come. But if they go and they stay, then it might be some other issue. Okay. So
how many people does it affect?
Oh, this is very common. You know, they say that it's about 1 in 6 people will get hives at some stage in their life. You know, so it's a very common it's a very common thing. So you know, it's good to know what we can do for it. And sometimes they're short lived, so they might come and go for a few days or a week, and sometimes they persist for longer than 6 weeks. And chronic hives, there's something called chronic hives. It's less common, but these, they come and go for months or sometimes even years. SubhanAllah. So years. Some people get this for years.
Now, the most important question really is how is hives triggered? What brings it on?
Okay, hives...
or causes?
There's a number of different factors. The common causes include respiratory infections, particularly in kids, contact with animals or plants, allergic reactions to foods or medication. Now, in terms of medication, again, penicillin is a cause, but also codeine, funny enough.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Codeine and aspirin can be triggers to hives. They, for some reason, sometimes can cause hives in people. Insect stings, heat or cold stress, food additives or preservatives. They're the common causes. In chronic hives, so the ones that are continuing for months or sometimes years, it's rare to find the cause, although what they do find is that aspirin and codeine make it worse. So they may not be the cause, but they make it worse.
So what are some of the symptoms of hives?
Okay, so some of the symptoms include the raised circular wells that look like mosquito bites. These are red on the outer rim and white in the center, and each of them last for 2 to 4 hours, rarely up to 24 hours. So it only lasts a few hours, and then they appear in batches and clusters. And as we said before, as one batch fades away, another batch pops up somewhere else. Localized itching with a rash, you know, that may last for a few days or a week as well. And as we said, the chronic hives last for months and sometimes years. Some causes, the causes of hives. Look, in 80% of cases, the cause of hives is unknown.
Unknown?
Unknown in 80% of cases.
SubhanAllah, with all this advancement and technology, it's still unknown, SubhanAllah.
Yeah, they... look, and for the 20% of people that we do know, it's, you know, the medications, food additives, some infections, the plants and the heat, plants and animals, heat, being exposed to heat or being exposed to too cold of a temperature, and bee, wasp and stings, and also emotional stress. So people.
Pretty much everyone's going to have hives if it's that's the main cause.
Well, look, you know, it's a common cause. You know, sometimes when they don't know, they just say that. But, you know, I've seen hives where people getting hives and they don't know why, and they're given some form of antidepressant and it seems to fix it up.
Is it infectious?
No. No, they're not infectious. You can't catch hives off someone else. So no problem there at all.
So what are some other causes?
Exercise and sweating sometimes as well, but not very common. Not very common. Some treatments for these. Look, the most common treatments include the non-sedating antihistamines like Claritin, Telfast, and Zyrtec, similar to what you'd use for hay fever. Although some of them make a stronger version for hives. So you would use those ones.
So does it have its own section or it's...
No, it's still... We still use the... In terms of those tablets, we would still use the same brands. Within the brands, there's some that are stronger for skin rashes or hives. But there's a whole class of other things that we use for hives. We can use creams. Because it's on the skin, we can use creams, corticosteroid creams. So the same type of creams that like we talked about, Nasonex and Rhinocort for the nose, those products also come in creams that we can use on those hives. But more of the most effective
The most effective thing for hives are the sedating antihistamines. Mm. So these are ones that do that make you drowsy. They seem to be more effective than the other antihistamines, but they have like they have that side effect of making you drowsy, which could suit some people, but not others, of course. And these brands include Phenergan, Polaramine, Avamine, and these are available for kids and adults.
Phenergan, that sounds familiar. Isn't that what parents use to knock their children out, put them to sleep?
Yes, it can be. Has a lot of uses. Have you used it on any of your kids?
No.
No, okay. It's good.
I'm not that type of parent.
Yeah, it's a...
naturally put them to sleep.
It's a very well-known product. Yeah, it can be used to sedate kids and adults. It can be used for travel sickness, but it's a really, really effective product for itchy skin.
You know, if we made a video or a segment on the program on how to knock your kids out without harming them, I think we'll
go
viral.
You think so? You think
people, what do you reckon?
A lot of tired parents out there, they just want their kids to go to sleep.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for the brothers and sisters now who their kids have reached the age, you know, where they're praying. And Isha is like almost at 10 o'clock.
Yes, yes.
Fajr is at like 5.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it's
pretty late. Daylight savings is a killer.
It is. It's even without kids, it's tough.
It is. It's tough.
Especially if you stay awake after Fajr.
That's right.
Yeah, it can be. But look, it's... but mind, and this Phenergan, just to talk about the Phenergan and the kids, if there's a small percentage of kids, when you give them the Phenergan, instead of getting sleepy...
Opposite effect.
They have the opposite effect. So you don't want to... You make sure before you knock out your kid that... not that I'm endorsing that, by the way.
We don't.
So just putting it out there, I don't endorse it. But it does come in handy when you're traveling on a plane. Which is where I do recommend it.
I might jump in here. For the younger kids, give them a bath.
Yep.
Get some olive oil, rub their bodies down with it, and Bob's your uncle, as they say. They'll sleep, inshallah. Do you reckon?
Is this for just for in general?
Young children.
Yeah, the older children.
You want to be rubbing them with oil.
No. Are we talking about for traveling, or are we talking about just for home now?
Home.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Traveling?
Yeah.
Traveling, you might need that...
Yeah, to keep them sitting in their seat.
No.
So a bath with a normal bath, or are we talking about a bath with lavender? Or
Maybe. You know more than me about that.
Lavender's very calming.
Yeah, and maybe some... I heard that they heat up the oil.
Yes.
And they rub the baby's body with it.
Yeah.
Relax. It gives them that relaxing...
Did I ever tell you the story how my dad used to rub our legs before a semi-final or a grand final in soccer with warm olive oil?
Yes, Allahu Akbar. It's good.
Yeah, that's any time that... I don't know.
To loosen up the muscles?
Yes, to loosen us up.
Well, they do that with Denka Rub, don't they? Yes. Is it Denka Rub that they use
in Denka Rub. Yeah, Denka Rub or Deep Heat.
Yeah, so I think I'd prefer olive oil because I did use Denka Rub in the past and I prefer olive oil any day.
Especially
if you warm it up a bit.
Yes, well, that's Dad's special when we were kids.
It's onto something.
And I think it won me a lot of grand finals.
So alhamdulillah. It's the olive oil.
So, Dad, if you're listening, thanks.
Jazakallah
khair. Jazakallah khair.
Now, we've covered a few of your dad's medical practices. I remember we spoke about the treatment for, what was it for the hair?
Lice.
The lights. He's not the only one. What was it?
Kerosene.
Yeah.
My mum actually after that night, my mum must have been listening, and she thought that was very funny.
She's not the only one that found it funny, or not the only one that, like your dad, used it. Many used it.
Yeah. Kerosene, and I still got my head shaved after it, so I don't know what the point of the kerosene was.
Same here. Alhamdulillah.
Anyway, alhamdulillah.
Anything else on hives?
No, that's about it. I mean, for the chronic hives, the doctor will definitely need something prescribed. Like I said, that can range from various things, from antidepressants to corticosteroids in a tablet form. But anyway, if you're a sufferer of that, you definitely want to speak to your pharmacist or speak to your doctor about it.
Now, subhanAllah, the timing is always perfect for me. Yesterday I got home. And what do I find in my letterbox? The latest catalogue from your discount chemist. which starts on Wednesday the 14th and ends on Tuesday the 27th of February 2018. So I'll bring that with me.
It's we're 1 month into the year.
Yeah, it's a good time here. The year has flown, 2018 already. Or more importantly, in Ramadan, it's 14:39 now. Yes. And we've got like 3 months and a bit till Ramadan starts. We're always saying that in our program.
3 months.
3 months and 10 days, to be specific, I think it is.
Time to dust out those Ramadan hilt tips.
That's it. They're coming out again this year, inshallah. And hash tips as well in the works.
Yes, we will be working on that one. We'll work on that one soon.
Inshallah.
Just in time for hash, inshallah.
Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Now, I've got the catalogue here. I've got a few items I'd like to ask you about, especially since we're speaking about allergies. On the front page there for $15.99, Nasonex, is that how you pronounce it?
Nasonex, yes.
Nasonex.
Yep.
That used to be prescription, now it's not.
That's right, yes. Used to be prescription, used to be $40 on prescription.
It's a nasal spray.
Down. Yeah, yeah. Nasal spray, as we discussed, extremely effective. It's one of the first things you want to try if you're a sufferer of hay fever. It's fine for the kids as well.
My son uses that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, but he needs to have a prescription for it.
Yeah, yeah. Not anymore.
That's it. Now, moving on across there on the first page, Nurofen. That's still prescription free. What's the go?
Nurofen's okay. That's still no prescription. No codeine in that one.
Nurofen Plus isn't.
Nurofen Plus has gone to prescription. But Nurofen, I think we've got the 96 pack on there. Is that the big one?
Yeah, 96 packs, $15.99, I think it is.
That's for the bulk user.
Okay, over here, Blackmores, I want to ask you this, if I say it right, MacuVision, what's that? MacuVision, is that right? Macu?
Yeah, MacuVision, yeah. What's it's a for? Specialist formula, a specialized formula for eyes, so for macular degeneration, what we call macular degeneration, which is a slowing degeneration of the eye, and you can lose your sight with it. Okay. So it's a combination of vitamins, including zinc and lutein, that help prevent or help preserve the eye, basically. A very, very popular item, especially with the older community.
Panadol's still there on the front page, $12, 100 tablets.
You know,
is that the most popular pain relief still or not really?
Panadol and Nurofen are almost neck and neck these days.
What's the difference? I think I've asked you this before. Is there a difference?
Panadol, it contains paracetamol.
Yes.
So it's just a different type of pain relief. Lasts 4 hours. Ibuprofen is what's inside Nurofen. That lasts 6 hours and it also has anti-inflammatory effect. So
what's better for you?
Look, you know, Nurofen, look, they're both very effective. Nurofen, you've got to be careful with a few people. You know, if you're severe asthmatic, not a good idea. If you've had stomach ulcers in the past, not a good idea. If you've had issues with aspirin, not a good idea. Whereas if you're pregnant, Nurofen's no good. But, you know, in terms of its effectiveness, it's pretty good. A little bit more than paracetamol, I would say. But paracetamol or Panadol, you can use pretty much, you know, without... It doesn't interact with anything and doesn't have any issues with people who have asthma or ulcers or pregnant. You can still take it.
Now moving to the back of the latest Your Discount Chemist catalogue, I find there a bonus gift happening. Everyone likes a free gift. QV, Gentle Wash, with a bonus gift. What's happening there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's a good gift too.
Is it?
Yeah, it's of course it is. Yeah, so Ego, really good for sensitive skin, which...
it's Ego, is it? It says
yeah,
QV.
Ego QV.
That's good for sensitive skin. And
yeah, sensitive and it's actually something, you know, I think we'll try to cover in the next few months. Something about skin and, you know, the common skin issues that people get.
Especially with the overuse of Dettol and that and people are too paranoid. Does it harm? Does it bring more benefit? I think
that
needs the whole discussion itself.
Definitely we can add that to the list of things. But yeah, the free gift for people who have sensitive and itchy skin, the Ego QV is really good. And the bonus gift being the shampoo.
Yes.
Is a great shampoo with no nasty chemicals in it or anything like that. So sensitive scalp as well will definitely help.
Now, if you haven't received the catalogue in your local area, you can download the app, Your Discount Chemist app, on App Store and Google Play, or visit the website. Anything else you'd like to mention, Brother Saeed?
No, you can sign up to the newsletter and get your catalogue emailed to you as soon as it's out. So that's also a possibility. And I think that's about it.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Saeed. Yeah, as always, it's a pleasure and very beneficial discussion we had today about the new regulations for codeine and also about allergies. Inshallah, we will return in the first Tuesday of every month for the Pharmacy Hour. As we mentioned before, it's the first Tuesday of every month around 8 o'clock or 8:30, depending on the prayer times. If you've missed this episode or previous episode, you can download the episode and listen to the episode on our YouTube page or iTunes. Barakallahu fikum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.